All right, Rav, we'll say good morning. Let us begin. Beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Yutes 19. We are picking up from Yudches Amud Beis. Yudches Amud Beis. So we left off at the Tashma, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines up from the bottom. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by our Talmud Torah, sponsors to the month of Tebeis, Shirley Elbaum, together with their sons, Avron, Sean, and Judah Elbaum, and their families, in memory of their beloved husband and father, Jerry Elbaum, in commemoration of his 10th yahrzeit. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. And we thank the family of Pam Weissman for dedicating the week of learning this week in honor of Pam's birthday and in recognition of her commitment to Derech Eretz and Talmud Torah. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she will have a wonderful and fulfilling birthday and uplifting year. And arichos yamim vishanim ad me'a ve'esim shanim tovos. I will say with that, let us begin. So we left off in a really fascinating discussion regarding what the dead are aware of. So remember again, we left off with the incredible story yesterday regarding the two spirits conversing in a cemetery. The chassid who overhears, right, who overhears the financial advice that they are dispensing on Leil Rosh Hashanah and Baruch Hashem. And then ultimately, again, the Gemara uses that as a proof to the fact that the dead are aware of what happens in this world. The Gemara then dismisses that proof, so we go back to Tashma. Well, listen to this. The father of Shmuel, ultimately, again, people used to deposit money with him for orphans. So there was money set aside or money collected for orphans. I'm sorry, one more Tashma, thank you. So we'll say a few lines actually before that. Tashma de Ziri, thank you, In the wide lines, four lines in. Tashma de Ziri have a mafkiv zuzi gabi ushbezichse. Ziri used to go ahead and deposit money. Ushbezichse means an innkeeper, a woman who was an innkeeper. He would deposit money with her for safekeeping. So he would go off to yeshiva. I guess he had like a room in this inn. When he would go off to yeshiva, he would deposit his money with this woman. What happened? The Gemara says, Shchiva, she died. Now she died while he was away. And of course, he does not know where she deposited his money. So Azul Basra, the Chatzar Maves, he goes after, so he goes to the cemetery. Amarla, Zuzi Hecha. He asks her, where is my money? Amarle, she said, oh, I went ahead and I buried it underneath the pivot of the door. And meanwhile, again, while Ziri is there, so the spirit of this woman tells him, go tell my mother, tell my mother to send me my comb and my makeup, my eye makeup, with the young girl who's coming to join me tomorrow. So we'll say, so Rashi points out over here that, again, this is a story of a woman who died very young. So this idea of my comb and my eye makeup, Rashi points out over here, is that she died young. So we'll say, but the point of the story for us is what? So obviously the dead know what is happening in this world. Because again, here, the dead innkeeper knows that this other young girl is going to die tomorrow. Alma Yadi. Therefore, you see, the dead know what's occurring in this world, to which the Gemara says, maybe not Dilma, Duma, Kadu, Machrezlu. But it says, apparently, there's a malach called Duma. Duma is in charge of the dead, of the neshamas. So maybe Duma announces, so-and-so is joining us tomorrow. So maybe that's how this particular soul knew about this. Okay, so the Gemara goes, Tashma, Davud Shmuel, Hava Kamafka di Gabe Zuzi di Asmi. We'll say, Shmuel's father was entrusted with the money for orphans. Orphan money. What happened? Kinach nafshe lo havishmol gabe. Havakakarli bar ochil zuze diasmi. So what happened? When Shmuel's father died, Shmuel was not present. Because he was not present, he did not know where his father had hid the money. So people accused Shmuel and his father of taking the money of the Yisomim. We'll say, isn't it like, it's interesting, right? It's human nature. The sentence, for whatever the reason, the default we have is assuming the worst of people. So again, what happens? Shmuel, it was an incredible story. Shmuel goes to the cemetery to consult with his father. Amrlehu, he comes to the cemetery, he shows up and he says, Ba'ina Abba, I'm looking for my father. Amrulei, the souls say back to him, Abba tuva ikahacha, there are many fathers who are buried here. Amrulehu, ba'ina Abba bar Abba. I'm looking for my father, Abba. His father was actually named Abba, right? Abba, the son of Abba. Amrulei, Abba bar Abba nami tuva ikahacha. There are a lot of Abba bar Abbas here also. Amrulehu, ba'ina Abba bar Abba avua de Shmuel. I'm looking for Abba bar Abba, the father of Shmuel. Sahecha Amru, where is he? Amrulei, they said to Shmuel, Salak l'masifta derakia. Your father has already ascended to the yeshiva shalmala, right? He's already ascended to the heavenly yeshiva. Adahachi, okay, so, but apparently they were going to get him. There's other souls are going to get him. Adahachi, chazye lelevi di Yosef Abroi. So we'll say, while Shmuel is in the cemetery, he sees Levi. Now Levi had passed away already, but he sees Levi's neshama. So we'll say, apparently the image that Shmuel saw is he gets to the cemetery and he sees a group of souls sitting together. That's who he consults about, where is my father? They tell him, okay, my father, they tell him his father's in the yeshiva shamala. He sees the soul of Levi sitting outside the circle. Levi's not sitting in the circle. Amrale, Amaya Safta Abroi, my time of Salakta. So Shmuel says to the neshama of Levi, Levi, why are you sitting outside of the circle? Why have you two not ascended to yeshiva shamala already? Amrale, the Amrili, this is wild. The Amrili, because they said to me, Kol ki hanach shani delo salik delo masif derabi afes va'ach l'shisi l'dayte lo ma'ayin l'chal l'masif derakia. So the Levi said, because they told me, they will say, the Gemara tells a story that when Rabbi Afes became the Rosh Yeshiva, or took over the shir, Levi, for whatever the reason, didn't go to the shir. And because Levi didn't show up to shir, Rabbi Afes was very offended. And so they told Levi, because you offended Rabbi Afes by not showing up to shir, therefore what? We're not, for all the time that you did not go ahead and come to Rabbi Afes' shir, we're not letting you into the Masifta Derakia. But say, isn't that incredible? This is Levi. So first of all, you learn from here the importance of coming to shir. I'm very sensitive. In all seriousness, what's amazing about this is you see something amazing, which is Levi was a great tzaddik. But again, and Levi had his reasons for not going. It wasn't like a personal thing. So I'll say, but you see that because his actions ended up hurting the feelings of another person, he's denied entry to yeshiva shalmala for that amount of time. It's a dramatic story. So what happens? Adahaki b'achi asadwa. So we'll say, meanwhile, Shmuel's father came down. So the Gemara says, Chazye dehava kabachi va'achich. He saw that his father was smiling, was laughing and smiling. Amrulei, my tema kabach, his father, why are you crying? Amrulei, de la'agel ka'asis ka'asis. Because tomorrow, my son, or soon, my son, you are joining me. So Shmuel's father knew that his son was going to die, and he was still a younger man. So I'm crying because soon you're going to join me. My temachichas, why are you laughing? So the chashivas by haya amatuva, because I see how important you are in this world. Now, both said, and interestingly enough, there's a machlokis Rashi Tosis over here. Rashi says that ultimately, again, chashuv ben achayim, that Shmuel's father saw how important he was in Olam Hazeh. Tosis has a different opinion. Tosis is in Tosis Alma Yadi. Tosis says, no. The Shmuel's father was saying how important you are in Olam Haba. All right, so just again, it doesn't impact the story that much, but it's just interesting. Shmuel's father, I see how chashuv you are in this world. Is this world Olam Hazeh? That's Rashi. Or Olam Haba Tosis. So the Gemara says, Amrale. So listen to Shmuel says, if I'm really so important, then Na'aluha Lelevi. Then allow Levi admittance into the yeshiva shalmala. Va'ailua le'Levi. And ultimately, again, they let Levi in. So I say, by the way, you see the godless in this, the beauty in this? Shmuel was just told that he is important in Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, one of them, both of them. So I say, you would think that, again, this would be an Eis Ratzon for what? For what? Ask for something. If I'm so important, so you know what? Parnasa, Hatzlacha, whatever it is, what does he ask for? Let Levi into yeshiva shamala. Let Levi into yeshiva shamala. I'll say that's sometimes the greatest things that we could do with our brachos is ultimately take care of the other. So Amar Lehu. So he says to his father, Zuzi diasni hecha. Father, I came because I need to know, where did you deposit the money that belongs to the Yisomim? Amar Lehu, zil shaklinhu ba'amsa derachyo. Go ahead and lift up the stone of the mill, of the grinding mill. lift up the stone, you're going to find money there. So Eloi v'tasoi didan, the money on the top and the money on the bottom is ours. Umitzi diyasmi, the money in the middle, that belongs to the Yisomim. Amarlei, my time avarta. Father, why did you do this? Amarlei, iginuvi ganvi mignevu mididan. Iachla ara, achla mididan. So Shmuel's father said, because here's the deal. If somebody were to discover the hiding place and they would reach in and take money, they would take the money on top. That way, if money gets stolen, then what? It's our money. And we'll say the issue is this: presumably this was coinage. When you put coinage in the earth and dirt, what ends up happening over time? It erodes. This way, if there's any erosion, it's our money that erodes. So therefore, again, Shmuel's father totally safeguarded the money of the Yisomim. So the Gemara says, Alma, Tiyadi. What do you see from here? You see from here that the dead, in fact, do go ahead and know what's happening in this world. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, according to Rashi, what this means, the proof over here is because Shmuel's father knew that Shmuel was chashuv in this world. That's the proof. According to Tosis, it's that ultimately, again, that Shmuel's father knew that Shmuel was going to die imminently. But either way, it proves that the dead know what's happening in this world. To which the Gemara says, "Vilma Shani Shmuel." Maybe Shmuel is different. Why? Kaven dechashiv kadnu machrazi penu makum. So I'll say maybe Shmuel is different. Since Shmuel was so important, maybe again they made an announcement in the celestial sphere: make room because the great tzaddik Shmuel is coming. So in other words, maybe Shmuel's father knew what he knew, not based on the fact that what? That ultimately, again, that Shmuel was chashuv, and they made an announcement. They both say, just in the incredible Moser, see, what were people saying about Shmuel and his father? People were saying that they're going ahead and stealing money from Yisomim. And they both say, turns out that what? There's nothing further from the truth. Not only are they not stealing money of the Yisomim, but what? They're safeguarding the money of the Yisomim at personal loss. We'll say, such an incredible Musar that sometimes we look at things and we think, I know the whole story. I know everything. All the information is clear, kashemesh but saharayim. But yet, sometimes we're so wrong, which is why there's such an important need to reserve judgment about people and about situations until we're really 100% sure that we have complete information. So incredible. Rabbi Yonasan changed his position. How do we know that the dead speak with each other? So the Gemara says, "Shneimar vayomer Hashem elav zos saaretz et shenishpati leAvram leYitzchak leYaakov leMor." So as Hashem Baruch Hu saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Hashem said to him, "This is the land that I have sworn to give to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov leMor." Saying, says the Gemara, "My leMor." Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Leich Emor Lahem, LeAvram, LeYitzchak, LeYaakov. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, I want you to go and to speak to the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and tell them, Shvur Shenishbati Lachem Kvar Kiyamtir Libneichem. The oath that I made to you, right, I have fulfilled to your children. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Moshe Rabbeinu to go and to tell Avram that the oath that he promised to give Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Kinan, to the children of Avram has been fulfilled. And if you think that the dead aren't aware, there was in Arashi and it stands over here, if you think that the dead really have no general awareness and understanding of matters of this world, then what? Ki amar lahu my havi. Then what would be the point of having Moshe Rabbeinu tell them anything? Ella mai diyadi, but rather, what do you see from your Rabbosai? That the dead absolutely have an awareness of what's happening in this world. That I will say now, oh, I just want to point out something very interesting because there was a little bit of a shift here in the Gemara. See, up until now, we were discussing, are the dead actively aware of what's happening in this world, right? So the Gemara, so that was a machlokis. The Gemara now is saying, is that it could be that the dead maybe aren't actively aware, but when they're given information, they could understand and appreciate that information. Because here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, go and tell the Avos about what is happening in this world. So the Gemara is using this as a two-pronged proof. Number one, that the dead are aware, and number two, that they understand what is happening in this world. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, lama le lemeimer luhu. So if that's the case, that the dead are aware of what's happening in this world, then why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to convey to them anything? Lachzuki leitivusa leMoshe, because we will say ultimately again, people have good feelings towards a messenger who brings good news. Therefore, if Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing good tidings, the avos will have special hakaras hatov towards Moshe Rabbeinu. So the emotional was trying to build up the relationship between Moshe and the avos. Quite beautiful. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. So we'll say, okay, that marks the end of the... Well, it doesn't mark the end. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kolam asaper achare hames. So we'll say, changes direct directions a little bit. Whoever speaks about the dead, kivam asaper achare ha'evan. It's like speaking about a stone. In other words, we'll say that if you disparage the dead, that is an irrelevant statement. It's like speaking about a stone. Iga da'amri, others say, we'll say, why is that? This is incredible. Why is it that it doesn't matter if you speak Lashon Hara about the dead? Iga da'amri de'lo yadi. Some say because the dead don't know. Meaning, again, it's not going to impact the dead. They don't know what you're saying. Iga da'amri, the yadi velo ichbas lehu. We'll say the other possibility is that they know. They just don't care. They just don't care. And we'll say, which is such an incredible, incredible maila. Right? So I know somebody's talking about me. I don't care. Ini, is that so? Vamra papa chad ishtoi mil sabashe dimashul. Bro, is that true? That if you disparage the dead, then ultimately, again, it doesn't matter. It's like speaking about it. So let's listen to this story. There was once a guy, chad ishtoi mil sabashe dimashul. There was once a guy who was speaking negatively about Mar Shmuel. And what happens? Venafla kanya mitalala. And what happened? We'll say a beam fell down and split the guy's head open. Right? He was speaking negatively about Shmuel, and this happened. So again, you see from here, it was clear in a way that it wasn't just, nothing's coincidence. But it was clear, I guess this happened, Mamish, right when he finished speaking. Shani tzer merabanam de kutcher bichu tava de kare. Talmud Chacham is different. We'll say because if you disparage a Talmud Chacham, that is the covet of a Talmud Chacham, the covet of a Torah scholar, derives from the covet of God. Therefore, disparagement of a Talmud Chacham ultimately, again, is a disparaging of the divine. And for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacts punishment. Am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Whoever speaks negatively about Talmidei Chachamim, this is after they're dead, ultimately, again, falls into the grasp of Gehenim. Shene Emar quotes over here the pasuk from Tehillim. V'ham metim al kalkolosam yolichem Hashem es poalei ha'aven shalom al Yisrael. Afilu b'shash shalom al Yisrael. Even at a time where there is shalom al Yisrael. Shalom al Yisrael over here is a reference to death. Even at a time when the Talmud Chacham is already dead, yolichem Hashem es poalei ha'aven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu again will go ahead and deal with those who commit averos. So the idea being that even once the Shalom HaYisrael, when the Talmud Chacham is dead, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacts punishment from those who speak negatively about the Talmud Chacham. Tanu D'Rabbi Shmuel, say second wide line on your Testament Aleph. Tanu D'Rabbi Shmuel, Imra, this is a beautiful Gemara. Imra Isa Talmud Chacham Sha'avra Avera Balayla. If you see a Talmud Chacham who committed an Avera at night, Al Taharer Acharav Bayom Shema Asa Tshuva. Do not look at him as a Rasha. Right? Or do not doubt his righteousness by day, for perhaps he has already done tshuva. So we'll say what this means is if you see a Talmud Chacham who does something wrong, so you could assume that by the next day already he's done tshuva and he's fixed that which was broken. Saga daitcha, possibly that he did tshuva. Elevade asa tshuva. We'll say if you see a Talmud Chacham who did something wrong, you must assume again that by the next day he already did tshuva. V'hani miri bidvarim shebegufo. Aval b'mamona ad dahadla marayin. Rabbi said, that's assuming that you saw the Talmud Chacham do something wrong, a physical avera, right? You saw him do something bad, so you could assume that, but lemaisa by the next day he did tshuva. But if it was a monetary transgression, the only time you could assume he did tshuva is when? Is if he returned the money, if he somehow made the monetary transgression right. Rabbi said, just an incredible, incredible idea. First of all, it's an insight into what a Talmud Chacham is. You see, a Talmud Chacham is not just a function of how much knowledge a person has. Anyone could amass knowledge. Amassing knowledge is not difficult. Anyone, if they put their mind to it, could amass knowledge. A Talmud Chacham is so much more than someone who's just a repository of Torah knowledge. Talmud Chacham is someone who's a repository of Torah knowledge, but also a repository of proper midos. And I will say, what does it mean to have proper midos and proper character traits? It doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. We all make mistakes, and we make them often. difference between a Talmud Chacham and a regular person is when a Talmud Chacham makes a mistake, he doesn't wait to fix it. He corrects it immediately. The problem that most of us have is what? We make a mistake, and you know how this works, right? First I feel bad about it, then I say it wasn't so bad, and then if I'm really talented, it was actually good, and if I'm super talented, I actually begin to feel like it's tzaddik. Right? So we'll say, so again, so what ends up happening? I have stuff that's broken inside of me that I never take care of. Talmud Chacham is someone who says, it's broken, I gotta fix it. And I have to fix it now. That's the Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says, so I'm Rabbi Shoban Levi, b'chavtal nekamos, based in Minadin al-Kavar Arba. So it's very interesting. There are 24 instances where Beisdin will put someone in Nidui. So also remember again, Nidui is a form of excommunication. So there are 24 instances, Rabbi Shoban Levi says, where ultimately, again, the rabbis put someone in Nidui, excommunicated someone, because they were disrespectful to Rabbanim. Right? Because ultimately, again, they did not exhibit proper kavod arav. The chula shin mishnah seinu, and all of them are mentioned in the mishnah. Amrali Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar says, heicha, right, heicha. I don't know, where are there 24 instances of this? So Amrali the chitishkach, so go and find it. Go, if you search for it, you'll be able to find it. So nafak, dak, vaashkach, tlas. So ultimately, Rebbe Elazar goes out and he finds three instances. Three instances of people who ultimately, again, disparaged the kavod of the Talmud Chacham, of the particular Rav, and as a result, ultimately, again, replaced in Nidui, excommunication. What are the three cases? HaMazalzal bin Atzilas Yadayim, Misaper Achra Mitasen Shal Chacham, Shaltam Di Chachamim, VaMagiz Daito Klape Maila. So let's analyze these. Let's analyze these cases. So HaMisaper Achra Mitasen Shaltam Di Chachamim Mahi. What's the case of someone who spoke negatively about a Talmud Chacham after Talmud Chacham died? Disnan, who are your Omer? He used to say, and I will say the he in this case is Akavya ben Mahalalel, Rashi points out. So Akavya ben Mahalalel used to say, Ein mashkines hagiores v'lo asa meshuchreres. I will say, when it comes to Sota, remember again, Sota is a woman who's suspected of adultery. So what's the halacha? Her husband warns her not to be alone with a certain man. She violates the warning. What do? We give her to drink of the dissolved Parsha's Sota. She drinks it. If she's guilty, she dies. If she's innocent, she thrives. So Rakai Mahalo said, we do not go a Gioras, a convert, or an emancipated Shifcha Kinanis, who then becomes a full-fledged Jew, do not drink of the Meisota. They don't drink of the Meisota. Now, Akavya ben Mahalalel's logic was, it says, Daber al-Bnei, says, the Bnei Yisrael Amar Parsha. The Torah by Parsha Sota used Lashon of Bnei Yisrael. Akavya ben Mahalalel said, Bnei Yisrael means what? People who were born Jewish, not people who converted or became Jewish. So that was Vekav Mahalalel's pshat. So the Gemara says, Vecham the Chum say mashi. The Chum say, no, not true. You can even give Meisota to a Gioras and to a Shifcha Mishachreres. So the Gemara says, Va'amrulo, Maise Bikarkomis, Shifcha Mishachreres B'Yushalayim, Vishkua Shemai Vavtayo. They told the Kavya ben Mahalalel, you know, there's a story about a Karkomis. Now, both say Karkomis was either her name, or as Rashi points out, it's the place where she came from. She was an emancipated Canaanite slave, which means she once, upon emancipation, she becomes Jewish. And what happened? This happened in Yerushalayim. She was suspected of adultery. Vishkua Shemai Vavtayo, and Shemai Vavtayo gave her to drink. They gave her to drink. So they told this Kavya ben Mahalalel as a proof that you could give a gyoris and shifcha mishukhares me sota. So what happened? Amar lehem Akavya Mahalalel says that's not a good example. Dugma hishkuha. Ultimately, again, they gave her because she was just like them. The Bible says Shmai Naftalion were descendants of Gerim. They were descendants. Remember again, their Zeda, their Alter Zeda, was none other than Sancheriv. Right, Sancheriv Melech Ashur, right, who marched on Yerushalayim. It's incredible, by the way. The Enoch, right, the grandchildren of Sancheriv were Shemaya and Avtalion. Pretty amazing. So Akavya Mahalalel said, of course they gave the Gioras because she's just like them. Which I will say is a pretty disparaging statement on multiple levels. And what happens when and then ultimately again they excommunicated Akavya ben Mahalalel Umes Biniduyav, he died in a state of excommunication, the Sulku Basin Esarono, and they stoned his casket. And I will say, now we're gonna discuss the exact scope of this over here. Stoned his casket doesn't literally mean stone this casket. We're going to see when someone died in a state of excommunication, what they did is they placed a large stone on top of the casket, symbolizing that this person died in a state of excommunication. So we're not finished with this. What's the case of someone who disparaged the practice of hand washing? Disnan, Amar Yehuda, Chas v'shalom shakayim mehalal nisnada. Your story is wrong. Your story is wrong. Kavim Mahalel was never excommunicated. How do we know this? She'ein azar nin elas akol adav b'Yisrael b'chachma b'tara b'iras cheit kachem mahal. There was no one greater, right? Literally translated, the gates of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash never closed on a man who was greater in wisdom and purity and fear of sin than a Kavim Mahalel. In other words, your story is wrong. You got your facts wrong. Fake news. Fake news. Right? We'll say, you never, a Kavim Mahalel was never excommunicated. That story did not occur. I'll tell you what did occur. Ella Esmini, though, someone got excommunicated. But it wasn't Kavim Mahalo. Who was it? Elazar ben Chanoch. It was Elazar ben Chanoch. Elazar ben Chanoch. Shepik peik benetilas adayim. So apparently, he went ahead and he disparaged the enactment of hand washing. The details of the Gemara doesn't say over here. Ugishemes. And apparently, again, when he died, Shalchu Bezdin. And when he died, so they excommunicated him. He died in a state of excommunication. Well, so remember again, there's a very easy way to get out of excommunication, which is what? Which is how? I'm sorry. No, apologize. I was supposed to say, remember again, these are cases where a person is excommunicated because they're disparaging chazal, they're disparaging halacha, they're making light of individuals. You can't do that. The halacha is you have to have reverence for chazal and for the system, and if you don't, you're excommunicated. Very simple, do tshuva. Well, see, see something amazing, how human nature is. Why would anyone want to ever live in a state of excommunication? It's catastrophic to live in a state of excommunication. And also, you know, we think about it today. Today, people put people in chirim all the time. It's not like today. In times of organized communities, it impacted your parnas, it impacted your mishpach, it impacted shiduchim, so many different things. What was it? But you see, human nature is such that sometimes you just dig in our heels. Even if I'm wrong, and even if I'm suffering as a result of my quote-unquote principle, you know, people do so many terrible things in the name of principled stances, right? So sometimes principled stances just means I've dug in my heels too far to admit that I'm wrong. All he had to do was admit that he was wrong, you know, but he dies in a state of excommunication, and what happens? V'nichu evan gedol al arono. They placed a large stone on his casket. L'andecha. Shakala misnada mispini duyaf, whoever dies, right, whoever is excommunicated and dies in a state of excommunication, Bezdin soklon esarono. Bezdin would stone his casket. So remember again, stoning his casket doesn't literally mean throwing stones, but rather again, they would place a large stone on his casket. Hamagis daito klape maila. I will say similarly again, someone who's arrogant towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's that case? Maihi. Disnan. Shalos is great. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shatach l'choni ha-ma'agel. This is Gemara from Maseches Tainis. We all know the story of Choni ha-ma'agel. So Choni, the circle drawer, right? Remember again, Choni drew the circle. There was a drought in Eretz Yisrael. And Choni said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not leaving the circle until what? Or until when? Until you bring rain. Then remember the whole story. It was too much rain. Choni says, too much. So finally, again, they got the right rain. So what happened? Shimon ben Shatach sent a message to Choni. And he said to him, Il moli choni ata, gozrani alecha nidui. Aval ma'eh, se sha'ata mischati lifnei amakom va'osi lecha ritzoncha, ki ben she mischati lifnei avi va'osi l'ritzono. Ba'alecha ha'kasuv omer, yismach avicha v'imecha v'sagel yolaritecha. So ultimately, again, you have over here that Shem and Shetach sends to choni ma'agel. If you weren't choni, I would excommunicate you. Why would I excommunicate you? Because we don't talk like that to God. Right, you don't go ahead and stand in a circle and make demands of God telling you, if you give me rain, I'm not leaving the circle until you. We just don't talk like that. It's not how we do things. But what can I do? Because at the end of the day, what? It worked, right? So what am I supposed to do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered you. So you are like a son. who sins in the presence of his father, but yet the father loves his son so much that he does what the son asks. So as much as I would like to excommunicate you because I think you set a wrong precedent, I don't think what you did is right, how could I excommunicate you when a Kodesh Baruch who showers you with blessing? Pretty amazing. Vesuleka, are there no other cases, Rabbi Osei, of people who did things, did practices that were against the Ratzon, against the will of the Chachamim, and deserved excommunication? Look at this other case. What was it fascinating? Todus Ish Romi. Todus, who was a Roman Jew. Hinig Espenei Romi. Lachilim Gidiyem Mikulasim Belele Psachim. Listen to this. Todus in Rome wanted to introduce an interesting practice. Well, he had a great idea. Well, here's the menu. Here's what we should eat on Pesach night. It's obviously outside of the Beis HaMikdash, right? After the Churban already. So let's say what happens. He instituted that on Pesach night, we should eat a roasted kid, right? A lamb, a whole lamb with its insides roasted on the side of it. Which I will say looks like what? It looks like Karban Pesach, right? Remember again, that's how you made Karban Pesach. So Todos essentially wanted to eat a lamb the same way that they ate the Karban Pesach. So what happened? Shalach le Shimon ben Shetach, ilmale Todos ata, we're not for the fact that you are Todos, goes Rani Alecha Nidui. Ultimately, again, I would go ahead and excommunicate you. Sha'ata machil as yisal kachim b'chutz. Because ultimately, again, so what Shlomo Shetach was saying is, I don't like your practice, because your practice makes it look like we're eating karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But what can I do? Because at the end of the day, you are todus. You are todus. And ultimately, again, there's nothing I can do about it. So I'll say either that's because he felt todus was very pious, but most probably because todus is very powerful. Right? So I can't do anything about it, but I'm unhappy with your practice. So you see other examples of this, to which the Gemara says, "Mishnasim karmina b'habraisihi." We're looking for examples in Mishnayis, whereas this case with todus is a braisa. Ubimas nisa leka. Are there no other cases? Are there no other cases? In Mishnayis, the Gemara says, "Vahaika hadisnan." Both listen to this case. This is the Tana Shalachnoi. Chatcha chulios v'nasan chul ben chulia lechulia. We'll say if you have an earthenware oven. We'll say just very quickly. If you have an earthenware oven, earthenware contracts tuma, and you cannot go ahead and purge or kasher earthenware. The only way that you can go ahead and remove tumah from earthenware is how?
Break it.
So we'll say, so listen to this case. Let's say you have an earthenware oven that contracted tumah. And then what do? You cut it into sections. So you disassemble it, and then you go ahead and you reforge it by essentially putting sand in between all of the sections and reforging it together as a kli. So Rabbi Elazar Matar, Rabbi Elazar says then, ultimately again, because you cut it into pieces, ultimately again, the tumah goes away, and it doesn't return when you reassemble the oven. And the Chachamim say no, once you reassemble the oven, so the Tumah comes back. The Gemara says, V'zeu Tanur Shalachnoi. And I will say, this was the case of the Tanur Shalachnoi. So we'll say, my Tanur Shalachnoi, my Achnoi, what does Achnoi mean? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Meshuel, Melame Shekifua Halachos Kachnoi. This was the case. Achnoi literally means a serpent. As we're going to see, this oven was at the center of a major machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar said ultimately again that it's tahar. The Chachamim said that it's tamei. Remember again, halacha is a system. The system is achirab mahatos. We follow the majority. So the majority said that the oven is tamei. Rabbi Elazar said that the oven is tar. And Rabbi Elazar refused to yield. He was wrong. I mean, he might have, I don't know, maybe he was right in the halacha, but he was wrong systemically, right? Meaning at the end of the day, when the rabbim decides something, the yachid yields to that. But yet, he would not yield. That is a wrong posture. So the Gemara says, V'tanya, Osayim, as a result of this, Osayim heviu kaltar shatir Rabbi Elazar, v'sar from Mufanov. Ulubasof birchur, we'll say that day, all of the things Rabbi Elazar ruled were tahar, the rabbis ruled were tamei, and they burnt them. And then they excommunicated him. So again, remember, this something like this is very serious and represents a fundamental threat to the continuity of the system. Remember again, the system has to be agreed upon. So if you have a sage who chooses not to yield to the majority, that is a very dangerous thing to the continuity of the system. So the rabbis felt they had to take a very public stand against Rabbi Elazar. against Rabbi Elazar, and ultimately again excommunicated him and pretty much disavowed all of his previous rulings as well. So here's another example. I said the Gemara says, even though this is another case, the Mishnah, it's not, there's no Mishnah that mentions his excommunication. Here's the problem. Remember again, this whole discussion began because Rabbi Shimon Levi said there are 24 places where we find that what? The rabbis excommunicated someone because they disparaged either a rabbinic enactment or they disparaged the rabbis. So where do you find, we can't find 24 examples, to which the Gemara says, it's very simple. There aren't actually 24 stories like this, but rather what Rabbi Shimon Levi says is as follows. There are 24 instances where the result should have been that a person would have been excommunicated for their behavior. Was the person actually excommunicated? Not actually excommunicated, so that the Mishnah doesn't tell us. But there are 24 such instances where a person either disparaged rabbinic enactments or disparaged Chazal, which should have resulted ultimately again in a nidui in excommunication. Good. No Samit, we'll say so when we go back there. So remember again, the Mishnah said that those who are carrying the funeral bier, right, ultimately, again, I parted from Shema. So, Tan Rabbanon, in Motzi, and Esamei Samachu Kriyashma, ideally, we don't do a Levaya next to the time of Kriyashma. Because we'll say, the goal is, we try not to create a situation where people are going to miss out on Shema. So, ideally, we don't do a Levaya by this, close to this man of Kriyashma. If he started a Levaya, you don't stop it. Ini, is that so? V'har Rav Yosef, of course, Samachu Kriyashma, but by the Levaya of Yosef, they began the Levaya close to the Zman of Kriyashma, Adam Chashav Shaini, to which the Gemara answers, an important person is different. The Levaya of an Adam Chashav is different. You do it whenever you do it. Shefnei Amita Shala Achra Amita. Tan Rabbanon. Ha'oskim behesped, bezman shemis mutal lefneim, nishmatin echar echa v'korn. We'll say, those who are involved in hesped, we'll say involved in this context means listening. So those who are listening to the hesped, and let's say Zman Kriyashma is coming, so they don't all get up and leave and go see Shema. Rather, what they do is they absent themselves one at a time. Right? So one person at a time goes out to say Shema. The Gemara says, V'korin. But if they're listening to the Espedim, but the mace, the corpse is not in front of them, they could sit in their place, and ultimately, again, they could say Shema. So remember, again, I was saying, in the first case, where the mace is in front of me, I can't say Shema. They're going back to yesterday's daf, loig l'rash. That's not respectful to the dead, to do a mace in the presence of the dead. So we don't all get up at the same time, rather we go out one by one. But if I'm not sitting in the presence of the mace, I could just say Kriya Shema right there. So the Gemara says, v'hein yoshev v'korin, v'hu yoshev v'domeim. And ultimately, again, the aval, of course, is not saying anything, right? He doesn't say Shema. Heim omdim mispadlim. Similarly, again, the people assembled, if they get up to davin, for who omidu matzdik alav es hadin. The avel, or in this case, he's still the onin, because this is before burial, he gets up and he does tziduk hadin, acceptance of judgment. V'omer, and he says, this is the avel speaking, ribon ha'olamim, harbe chatosi lefanecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I've sinned before you much. This is the Avel speaking now. I've sinned before you much, God, and you have not extracted even one thousandth of what it is that I deserve. Should be your will that you should go ahead and bridge or plug the gaps, right? Plug the pirtzos in our life. Upirtzos kolam chabes Yisrael, and the pirtzos, the gaps of all of Klal Yisrael, kolam chabes Yisrael berachamim, with compassion. So we'll say, this is actually incredible. The idea is that at a time of loss, a person introspects. Because at a time of loss, again, as a time of din, and a person realizes as much pain as I'm experiencing now, you haven't even punished me a thousandth for what I really deserve. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, don't say this. Lol mi boile inish le meimar hachi. Thor of Shem Malakish, v'chintara mishved Rabbi Yossi, li olam al yiftach piv la satan. They're both like, you never say stuff like, wow, God, you've never punished me like what I deserve. Right? We don't say stuff like that. Because al tiftach pala satan. In other words, we'll say, which al tiftach pala satan means, you never become your own prosecutor. Right? We never become our own prosecutor. We never go ahead and highlight our own iniquity or shortcomings. But Rabbi Yosef Maikra, what's the pasuk that supports this? Shenemar, Kimat Sidon Hayinu, Maya Hadra Lehu Navi, Shimu Dvar Hashem Katsine Stone. Because what's like the pasuk says, that Am Yisrael says, we've become like stone, and the Navi responds, listen to me, princes of stone. So then we're supposed to say, the Navi never said it first. It's only once we said that we're like stone, then the Navi says, you know what, you're right, you are like stone. So therefore again, the Gemara says, Al Tiftach Pala Satan. I'm supposed to say, so again, remember, there's this incredibly fine balance on one hand between being honest with introspection and recognizing your faults, your shortcomings, your weaknesses, your wrongdoings. There's a different piece in broadcasting that as part of tefillah. So atiftach pelasata means I don't broadcast my iniquity as part of tefillah. As part of my introspection, of course, I broadcast it to myself and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it doesn't become part of organized prayer. So what's the Mishnah that goes on? So let's listen to this. So the Mishnah said, ultimately, again, after they buried the dead and the Aval is coming back, if there's time before the Aval reaches you, then you, to say Shema, then you should say Shema in its entirety. So the Gemara says, "Im yicholu lahaschiv v'ligmar askula in avav perek echad upasek echad lo." It sounds like that you should begin to say Shema. If what? If there's enough time to say the entire Shema before the Avil gets back. But if you only have enough time to say one pasuk, one perek, don't start. Or minu, is that true? The kivru as ameis v'chazru, if they buried the dead and now the Avil is returning. Im yicholu lahaschiv v'ligmar afilu perek echad upasek echad. Right? Hachen. I'm sorry, so I'll say, so the Bryce over here says that if after they bury the dead, if there's enough time before the Avil gets back to say even just one pasuk or one perek, do that. The Gemara says that if after the burial there's enough time for the person who's attending the Levaya to say even one pasuk or one paragraph, get in what you can before it is time to comfort the mourner. Amud Beis, Ha'omdim B'Shura, Tan Rabbanon, Shura Haroa Pnima Petura. We'll say the Shura, which remember again, I'll say refers to the line, really, the comforters. I'll say, so interesting, we do this today, but today we usually form two straight lines. According to Rashi, it sounds like what they used to do is they would surround the Avel. Right? In other words, they would make a circle around the Avel and escort the Avel home like that. So the Mishnah says, Shura Harua Pnima Petura. So the people on the inner part of the circle, who literally again see the Avel, they're Pater from Shema. V'she'in Harua Pnima, but those on the outer part of the circle, Chayavis, ultimately again are Chayavin Shema. Rabbi Huda says, Habo'im Machmasa Avel Peturin. Rabbi Huda says, no. Here's the distinction. Those who are at Levaya, in order to be there for the Avel, are Pater. Machmas Atzman Chayavin. Those who are there ultimately again for themselves. What does it mean for themselves? Rashi points out, they want to see what's going on. Right? They want to hack around. Right? They want to see what's happening. So those who are there just to see what's going on, they're not Pater from Shema. Those who are there, supposed to see, interesting enough, in Rabbi Huda's model, it doesn't really matter where you're situated. What does it matter? What does it matter? Why you're there. So we'll say, in the Rabbanan's model, everything matters where you are. If you're right in front of the Avel, you're Pater. A couple of rows back, you're Chayiv. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're there for the Avel, that's Osi Gmitza Pater Menaitza, you're Pater. But if you're not there for the Avel, but just to see what's going on, then you're Chayiv. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rav. Now we get into an incredible, incredible sugya. Hamotzi Kilayim Bebigdo Poshtan. We'll say, if someone finds Kilayim, we'll say, also just announce, we're davening in here today. Just so everybody should know that. There's no electricity in the rest of the shul. Sorry. We're going to daven in here. So, which means we'll end on time. So the Gemara says as follows. So Hamotzi Kilayim Bebigdo. So we'll say, if somebody finds Kilayim in their clothing. So we'll say, listen to this incredible case. I'm wearing my suit, right? Someone says, nice suit. Say, oh, by the way, you know that brand has shatnez in it. So I'll say, right? So what's the halacha? First of all, I'll say, just so you should know, if you happen to know that someone is wearing something that is shatnez, wait to call them until they get home. And I will say, that's the idea. So all kidding aside, why? Because what's the halacha? Hamotzikhan big dog, someone finds shatnez in their clothing, poshtan. You have to remove the clothing. Afilu b'shuk. Even if they are standing in the marketplace. Well, so you're obligated to take off the shatnez clothing, even in the marketplace. My taima, what's the reason? In chachma, vein savuna, vein eitzel neged Hashem. I will say, literally translated, it means there is no wisdom, there is no understanding, and there is no counsel opposite God. Which means, kamakum sheish chilal Hashem, Ein cholkin kavod l'rab. Literally translated, wherever is echil Hashem, we do not worry about kavod to the rab, which essentially means that whenever there's a conflict between my dignity and God's dignity, God's dignity wins out. So we'll say the notion of violating an Aveira is an affront to God's dignity. The notion of me taking off my suit is an affront to my dignity. So when there's a clash between my dignity and God's dignity wins. So if I find out that I'm wearing shatnez, even in the marketplace, what do I have to do? Take it off right then and there. So Mar says, is that true? Meisvei. Kavru esa meisvei. Chazru v'lifnei beizdrech. Let's listen to this case. Let's say they buried the dead. And now the Avel is coming back. And there are two ways for the Avel to get home. V'lifnei beizdrechim. Achas tarav, achas tameo. One pathway is tar, one pathway is tamei. Ba b'tahora, ba in imo. If the Avel chooses the pathway that is tar, we follow him. Ba b'tameo, ba in imo. And even if the Avel follows the pathway that is tamei, we'll say again, let's say there's a grave. On that, we still follow him. Why? Mishum kvodo. Because of the kavod, ultimately, again, of the Avel. Am I? But why is that? Interestingly enough, the Gemara is talking about the idea that apparently knowingly becoming Tameh is wrong. Now, again, I'll say, it could mean that there are Kohanim in the entourage. That's what it could mean. Or it could also mean that in general, we just don't actively make ourselves Tameh. So I'll say, so why don't you say over here, if the Avil takes the Tar path, fine, I'll go with him. But if he takes the tummy path, I'm not going to go with him, especially if I'm a Kohen, because at the end of the day, again, that's an affront to God's dignity. So at the end of the day, as much as I have a mitzvah ultimately to follow the Menachem, the Ovel, how could I do that at the expense of God? So the Gemara says, Tirgama, because we'll say again, remember, the Shatnez case teaches us is what? That when there's a conflict between performing an Avera and my dignity takes a back seat to the Avera. Which Rabbi say, right? So again, so therefore, even though I could say, take off my suit in the shuk, that's going to be so humiliating. Nunu, so is wearing shatnez. Shatnez is also humility. Maybe not humiliating me, but it's humiliating to God. So therefore, again, when it comes to the affront to God's dignity, my dignity takes a back seat. So if that's the case, how do we follow the Avel down the Tamei road? To which the Gemara says, Turgum Rabbi Abba, Beis HaPras, Rabbanon. Oh, what's the case? Rabbi say, the case is the Beis HaPras. Rabbi say, we know the Beis HaPras. The man of Yehuda, Mishmuel, Menafeach, Adam, Beis HaPras, Vaholech. Ultimately, Rabbi say, what's the Beis HaPras? Beis HaPras is a field in which I know there was a grave there. And what happens? I know the field was plowed over. So the concern is that the remains were disturbed and potentially scattered all over the field. That there's a concern that maybe there is a bone fragment the size of a barley corn somewhere along the field which will convey tumah. The Bible said the concept of Beis HaPras is rabbinic tumah. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, when do we allow you to follow the Avel down the Tame road? That's in a case of rabbinic tumah. Because after all, again, what do we say when it comes to Beis HaPras? Very simple. If you walk in a Beis HaPras, all you need to do is blow on the dirt in front of you. And as long as you blow on the dirt and it looks clear, you could walk there. To which the Gemara says, ultimately, again, a Beis HaPras that was trampled upon by many people is in fact tahor. Why is it tahor? Because also, if there's a lot of pedestrian traffic, we assume that what? Even if there were bone fragments, they were trampled upon, and ultimately, again, no longer convey tumah. Tashma, we'll say another case. Tashma, the Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, we'll say it's incredible. Medalgin hayinu agabe arono shamesin. We'll say it's a wild story. Elazar Tzadok says, we used to jump on coffins. Listen to the end of the story. Right, we'll say, this, remember again, we used to skip over coffins of the dead. Likras malchei Yisrael, to go in to greet kings. Rabbi Elazar, what this sounds like, what Elazar bar Tzadok is saying is as follows. That when we heard that a monarch, a Jewish king, was coming to town, we often would go ahead and skip. We would walk on top of caskets. So they were, v'lo likras malchei Yisrael bilvad, not only to greet Jewish kings, the Gemara says, ela afilu likras malchei akum, but even to greet Gentile rulers as well. Shem yiske, that if a person ultimately, again, will be privileged to go to Olam Haba, Yavchin ben Malchi, Yisrael Malchi Akum. First of all, see the difference between Jewish royalty and Gentile royalty. But how can you jump over? How can you walk on caskets? Amai lema ein chachma, vein tvuna, vein etel en eged Hashem. And I will say, remember again, yes, while it is important ultimately to what? To go ahead and go to see a monarch. But how can you do that at the expense of Kavod HaMeis? So the Gemara says, Kedrava Dama Rava, Tvar Torah, Ohel kol sheyesh ba chalal tefach chotzeitz bifnei atuma v'she'im ba chalal tefach in a chotzeitz yitra. So I'll say, so interestingly enough, the Gemara actually here is not so focused on the Kavod HaMeis. What the Gemara is focused on over here is what? Is the tuma, right? If you go ahead and you step on a casket, don't you become tame? And if you become tame, ultimately again, is that not the violation of an Aveira? Is that not an affront to God? To which the Gemara says, we'll stop over here. We're going to pick up with this case of skipping over the caskets in Mi'artz Hashem tomorrow.